Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is a great day to be a bitter, clinging, right-wing radio host. Let me tell you that. I have been in Howie's office all day just going over these emails, this treasure trove, the emails from hell that actually were FOIA'd by the Washington Post and BuzzFeed. Now, of course, they're burying the lead completely about these emails. They're saying that, you know, the takeaway is, oh, the pressure that was on Dr. Fauci. You know, this guy, the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Dr. Fauci was happening.
Even worse, let's see here. This is the BuzzFeed takeaway. Anthony, now keep in mind, and I was just talking to Howie about this. These people are in journalism. They FOIA Freedom of Information Act. They FOIA these emails. They get them. There's some major hot scoop in these emails. You don't even have to be a Trump supporter to see, whew, this stuff is piping hot. And this is what they decide to run with. Anthony Fauci's emails reveal the pressure that fell on one man. And in CNN, this is how they take the emails. Thousands of emails from and to Dr. Fauci reveal the weight that came with his role as a rare source of frank honesty within the Trump administration's COVID-19 task force.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Talk about burying the lead. And I wouldn't even care so much if it wasn't an amazing lead. These emails really validate what a lot of people have been saying. And before I get off track, I would like to announce the first recipient of the Curley Profiles in COVID Courage Award. And that would go to the one and only Dr. and Senator Rand Paul. The Kentucky Senator really outdid himself when it came to Dr. Fauci, and he never let up. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of these emails. And I have an incredible show plan. I'm not just saying that. I would say it either way, but it's true. We have Scott Hounsell in the 1 o'clock hour, and you guys know him from my show and from Red State. He's been coming on a lot to break down this Dr. Fauci stuff. And I said to him last week, I said, are these emails, are we going to get a smoking gun? And he said, just hold on, Grace, you know, just be patient. I got to imagine he's on cloud nine right now. He's writing a lot of stuff about it. He's going to break down which parts of the emails he thinks are the most important. We also have Tristan Justice from The Federalist joining us at 12:30. He wrote a piece last week about how Fauci is the face of so much. I mean, he's the face of, I know he says lost time, lost weddings, lost funerals, you know, lost businesses. It's all Saint Fauci. And he kind of talks about how that's all been crumbling. And he retweeted it today and said, my article was dead on last week. And I thought, you know what? I got an in with him. I'll get him on the show. So we're going to break down all the nitty gritty. But one thing I just want to talk about here is the difference. What I think these emails confirm is the difference between thinking Dr. Fauci is a flip-flopper or, you know, inconsistent or incompetent versus nefarious, thinking that a lot of this was purposeful. A lot of this misinformation that he spewed out day after day was purposeful. And that's where I think these emails come in, because it shows you a timeline of what this guy knew and what he was told and when he changed his mind. And every time he changed his mind, I want you to keep in mind that the world, and very much so, at least America, suffered for it. They were at the whim of this man, the talented Mr. Fauci. And I was thinking about this today because, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see these arrogant liberals on their heels a little bit. And I'm going to give out profiles in COVID courage throughout the day. Tom Cotton's waiting in the wings, another senator who didn't give up on this. But I have to say, if it weren't for how long he tried to push this, you know, if Dr. Fauci had let up, if he had said after 5 or 6 months, listen, I got my, you know, my face is on a pillow. They, you know, they're loving me. I mean, they're just loving me. And just said, all right, now we can open up, whatever. Nobody probably would have ever pushed through this. But he, like a true Democrat hack, overplayed his hand. He went full boat on this thing. He started saying 2025, 2 masks, 3 masks. I'm not going to restaurants. I'm still not going to movie theaters. And he started to drive people crazy. And he started to tick off the wrong people, smart people like Rand Paul. And it got me thinking, if Rand Paul hadn't questioned this guy over and over again, you know, if he wasn't afraid to go after the sainted Anthony Fauci, if he wasn't afraid to hold Fauci's feet to the fire, this thing could have gone on for another year, another 2 years. Who knows when Fauci would have said, all right, I've had enough of the limelight. Maybe his 85th birthday, his 90th birthday. It could have been endless. But thanks to warriors like Rand Paul, who just said, no, I'm skeptical of that. This doesn't make any sense. Now he has to do a complete reversal, and it's looking worse and worse. And now keep in mind, timing with Democrats is usually very well thought out. You know, someone pointed out last week. So you know how usually the Democrats use the Friday as the dump for bad news. Well, that's when they put out their big budget bill. Was last Friday. It tells you, and Dana Perino pointed out that really tells you what they think of their budget bill, that they're doing it on a Friday before a long weekend, as Kamala Harris called Memorial Day, the long weekend. But this is what they do. So then I started thinking about this today. I'm like, ooh, Dr. Fauci, yikes. You know, we've got emails from him telling people that masks aren't effective and yada, yada, yada. And it comes the day after the news about his book. I wonder, Jared, if he got any pre-orders on that book just in time before this whopper of a scandal comes out. And a lot of people are focusing on the email where Fauci told, her name is Sylvia Burwell. She served as Secretary for Health and Human Services from 2014 to 2017 under the Obama administration. And I'm going to read you guys that email on the other side. It is important to know. He basically said they're not effective. Kind of like what he said on that first 60 Minutes interview, where he said, you don't have to wear masks, you know, the droplets. There was a lot of droplets. And that is important. And I understand. And I think people are hyper-focused on that because people are sick of the masks. And people really are starting to realize how illogical this all was, how it didn't make any sense. And people hate the mask. And so I understand why that email is getting so much play. But what I think is far more important, especially in the hands of, let's say, Tom Cotton or Rand Paul, people who were criticized and mocked about their Wuhan lab leak theory, you know, people whose theories were debunked. I think it's way more important that he got emails very early on during this thing saying that the sequence of the genomes. And again, I'm not a scientist. I might be messing up the words here. But they did not look evolutionary. They looked man-made. Now, we're going to play some old cuts of Fauci talking about how crazy these theories were. In fact, Peter Daszak, that's a name I'm going to talk to Scott Hounsell about, but he's the EcoHealth Alliance guy. I know it's a little in the weeds, but these guys were sending Fauci emails thanking him for debunking the mean and rude and, you know, unbelievably stupid conspiracy theories. They were thanking Fauci for basically acting as a propaganda arm for the Wuhan lab. There's so much to break down here. The talented Mr. Fauci does it again. We will talk about it all. I'm keeping the phone lines open. I know I have guests planned, but if you guys want to call in and rant about this, if there's an email that you saw that you think I got to focus on, feel free to call in. I'm going to read you guys some of these during the next break. It looks like Anthony Fauci's moment in front of the camera has officially come to an end. And, you know, to think, he only got in about 500,000 TV interviews. It's a shame, you know. I really thought he was going to be a star. But, hey, Fauci, Brad Pitt played you on SNL. That's a career highlight right there. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's got the pillow with your face on it. What more can you ask for? What more can you ask for? We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. It's a Fauci kind of day. It's a Fauci kind of day. And I don't know how many shows are going to be focused on Fauci from here on out, because it looks like the White House might be thinking about giving him the boot. But, and I don't know that for certain. I've just heard certain things. That's just allegedly. But we're definitely going to focus on Fauci for most of today. So don't go anywhere. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you have realized all of the money for your property and if you sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready, that's the key word here, cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We got a big show planned for everybody, but first, the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. I love the soaps. I am now on my second bar. It's an oatmeal bar. You can see the little pieces of oatmeal flakes inside the soap bar. Really good for sensitive skin. Doesn't leave you with that sticky feeling after you use a bar of soap. Just an awesome product, and the packaging's beautiful, and the smells are amazing. So make sure you check out CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Which of these Joe Biden statements is the most bigoted?
All right, so we have to set this up. The one I want to play first, because as always, Joe manages to come out just in time for me to miss the sound cuts. So yesterday he came out right as my show ended and he gave a speech. Jared, where was this speech? I know it was for the Tulsa.
Yeah, it was for the
Tulsa Massacre.
The Tulsa Massacre anniversary.
Okay, so he gave this speech and I saw a little bit of it. He was doing a lot of yelling, and it's not that I don't think the Tulsa Massacre is a serious event that deserves to be mentioned and talked about, and that Biden should be there, but the yelling doesn't really make sense. It's like when you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Loud noises!
Which I do all the time, but the yelling is just, it kind of sneaks up on you. Like, you think you know what rhythm he's going with, and then he starts yelling. But in the middle of the yelling, he actually said something incredibly racist, and it took a lot of people by surprise. Let's play cut 24.
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have they don't have accountants. But they have great ideas.
Yeah, and this sparked a lot of criticism on Twitter, including this from Spencer Brown. He said the president of the United States doesn't think black entrepreneurs have lawyers or accountants, which seems like that kind of soft bigotry of low expectations. That's the Democrats' favorite kind of racism. Soft bigotry of low expectations is exactly what sparked this poll question, because it's not Joe's first time. He says things like this a lot, which he thinks in his mind, in his old school mind, he thinks, you know, he's sympathizing with the black community or he's connecting with them. But really, he's just showing how bigoted he really is. So that's the first option. Let's play this old school one. This is him during the campaign, cut 20.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
That was a big yikes.
Whoops.
That even got some attention from the mainstream media, which is how you know it's bad, because usually they just pivot to, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? Chocolate chip. And now there was one that didn't get as much. I think this was during a town hall with Anderson Cooper. Cut 21, please.
A lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
Talk about low expectations. He doesn't think that black people can get driver's licenses. He doesn't think that they can get online. It actually sounds like a lot of things that he probably struggles with. So he projects that onto other communities. And lastly, let's play this one did get a lot of attention. Cut 23.
By the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
All right. So I'm going to say with those options that I would pick that last one, because that was when he really explained the logic of what he thinks of the black community, and it is insulting and racist. So I'm going to go with that last one.
36% think it's poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Second place at 27%, blacks and Latinos don't know how to use the internet. Third place is, unlike the black community, the Latino community is diverse. 18%, black entrepreneurs don't have lawyers or accountants at 14%, and you ain't black polling at 5%.
All right, and Howie actually gave me an incredible piece here by Jason L. Riley, and it says, liberals choose racial catharsis over progress for blacks, and he really does explain how the liberals are going to the past because they don't want to address any issues that are currently going on in some of these communities. And I'm going to read a little bit of that later in the show, but next up, We have Tristan Justice from The Federalist, an excellent writer, who's going to break down the fall of Fauci. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me on this very important day, as emails have been released. A lot of emails have been released from Dr. Fauci to Dr. Fauci, The Washington Post, and BuzzFeed, surprisingly, FOIA'd for these emails. And even though they got the emails, and the emails are juicy, they're running with this idea that the biggest takeaway is like, oh, Dr. Fauci didn't see his wife for a long time. He had a Google alert set for himself.
Did he look over the counter?
Oh, geez. But the real story here is that there was a lot of things that Dr. Fauci knew about for a while, including gain of function. I think that's pretty clear from these emails, and also the fact that a lot of scientists, serious people, John Carl might call them, were talking about the sequence of this virus not being evolutionary, being man-made. And you'd be surprised how early on Fauci knew this. And in fact, there's one email where someone sends him a lot of information about this, and he forwards it to a colleague and says, please handle. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of all these emails in a little bit, but I wanted to introduce my next guest. He's a phenomenal writer from The Federalist, Tristan Justice. He's the Western correspondent for The Federalist, and you can follow him on Twitter at JusticeTristan. Tristan, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, so you must be doing a little victory lap. Your piece couldn't have been more timely. You wrote this last week. You said how Anthony Fauci made himself the face of America's institutional decay. And you kind of break down every part of why Fauci was so harmful, whether it was his flip-flopping or, you know, what he did to students by, you know, really promoting schools being closed. Tristan, how are you feeling today when all of these emails are coming out?
Well, I feel vindicated. You know, I think everything that I wrote in that piece last week was corroborated by this treasure trove of emails to come out this week by BuzzFeed. It's interesting. The Washington Post published another piece yesterday highlighting a batch of emails that they obtained. But interestingly, the Washington Post did not make the emails that they obtained public. BuzzFeed did. And so that's opened up a huge can of worms for the Dr. Fauci here, because, I mean, the narrative from the Washington Post yesterday was the most predictable piece that you could expect from the Washington Post on someone who's been celebrated as, quote, America's doctor. But the interesting thing that BuzzFeed did was that they made their batch of emails public. And so Americans can really dig through these emails and see for themselves just what type of political animal Dr. Fauci really was throughout the entire course of the pandemic, and how that really translated into the next 15 months that would see repeated lockdowns, exacerbated divisions, and really what was almost a never-ending lockdown.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think the email a lot of people are focusing on, Tristan, as far as what I've seen on Twitter, is the email about the masks and how at one point he was telling someone from the Obama administration that masks weren't really necessary. But I think the bigger email is about where this virus started. And it does seem like he knew a lot more than he let on when he was arguing with Rand Paul over and over again.
I think you're right. I really don't think the mask emails are really the big story here. We already know that Dr. Fauci had been incredibly inconsistent on that issue, to dispelling the idea of masks before endorsing that, and then endorsing them, and then endorsing two masks, and then endorsing seasonal masks. I think the big story and takeaway here is Dr. Fauci's knowledge of the virus likely coming from this lab in China. Dr. Fauci ascended to becoming the most credible voice on coronavirus within legacy media, and that helped him dispel these damaging theories to his own career as conspiracies, and the media followed suit. We know from these emails that Dr. Fauci was warned by credible scientists that this virus looked like it came from manufacturing in a Wuhan lab that was conducting high-risk gain-of-function research. And Dr. Fauci dismissed those ideas and continued to dispel them in the media. And so I think this raises enormous questions, especially from a guy who has really vehemently denied any association with the Wuhan lab.
Yeah, and I think what you point out in your piece, which everyone can find at The Federalist, this is Tristan Justice, the piece is how Anthony Fauci made himself the face of America's institutional decay. I think what you point out is a lot of times it wasn't about what Fauci, it wasn't about Dr. Fauci, it was about who he was against. And people saw him as very contradictory to Trump. He seemed to not agree with Trump a lot. Trump was this larger-than-life person who a lot of people hated. And we see that in these emails, Tristan, when he's going back and forth with, I'm blanking on his name now, I think it's Peter Daszak. And he's basically, Peter Daszak is basically saying, wow, thank you so much for defending us against these awful theories. And that really does make you think, wait a second, is he saying this stuff because he really doesn't think it started in the lab? Or is he saying this stuff because he thinks it's going to make the right people happy?
Exactly. Look, Dr. Fauci has everything to lose and nothing to gain from the idea that this virus came from the Wuhan lab. We know that this lab was being partially funded by EcoHealth Alliance, which is the group that the doctor you just mentioned runs. And EcoHealth Alliance had received a five-year annual $600,000 grant from the NIAID run by Dr. Fauci during the time that the U.S. had actually banned gain-of-function research. And so Dr. Fauci, it appears, had circumvented the U.S. moratorium on this high-risk research to fund it overseas in the Wuhan Institutes of Virology. Now, Dr. Fauci has denied repeatedly that this research met the definition of gain-of-function, but there's a lot of credible scientists that are saying that the research that funded by the NIAID is indistinguishable from gain-of-function research and that it absolutely meets that definition. And so I think it's pretty clear in these emails that Dr. Fauci was worried, I guess for a good reason, for his own credibility, that it would eventually get out that this virus likely came from this Wuhan lab. And so I think a lot more questions are going to be raised about this, and I look forward to what congressional lawmakers are going to find on Capitol Hill when they inevitably launch investigations into this.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to add in here, Tristan, which you mentioned in your piece, is that I think a lot of people like Dr. Rand Paul and Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, they deserve a lot of credit for not taking what Dr. Fauci said at face value, for being skeptical, for looking into this, especially when the media wouldn't, and actually big tech was censoring them. But you bring up something else, which I don't think a lot of people have probably heard of, which is the Great Barrington Declaration. Can you explain to people a little bit about what that was?
So in October, a group of elite academics at Harvard, Stanford, and Oxford University put together what was called the Great Barrington Declaration to advocate the U.S. adopt a different approach to the novel Wuhan coronavirus pandemic. And that was where you allow the virus to essentially run its course because it's going to run it anyway, and you implement protections to keep the most vulnerable to complications from the virus protected from the virus. And so that was an approach that was largely adopted by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, where he allowed things to remain open and people resume their daily lives, keep kids in school, while you take targeted measures to protect the most at risk. So that declaration was, Dr. Fauci essentially launched a propaganda campaign against that declaration, being the political animal that he is, because there is no dissent that was allowed to Fauci in prescriptions, not by Dr. Fauci and not by legacy outlets. And so tens of thousands of credible scientists, virologists, epidemiologists, signed this declaration, but it was dispelled as this fringe strategy emanating just from merely conservative corners on the internet to combat the virus. And that is one of Dr. Fauci's biggest disservices to the American people in the last 15 months.
Yeah, and it's amazing because he always would say, you know, this is ridiculous or, you know, no serious people. But these were serious people. These were big time doctors and scientists who all got together and said, this is harming. And what your piece really highlights is how much it harmed the students. I don't have a lot of time left, though, Tristan, and I wanted to say this. What I find interesting about these emails, we do get a lot of juicy scoop about what Dr. Fauci knew. But like always with these FOIAs, I find myself really focusing on the redactions. And one particular one I wanted to get your take on was Dr. Fauci got an email from NIH Director Francis Collins, and the subject line was "Conspiracy Gains Momentum." The email included a link to an article about Brett Baer saying on Fox News that COVID outbreak started in Wuhan lab. Now, I believe it was like a Mediaite link. And so this person sends Dr. Fauci the Mediaite link, and his response back to this person is redacted. It's like one sentence. And I don't know, Tristan, do you find yourself looking at these and going, what are the redactions? I'm so curious what he said that's so top secret back to this Mediaite article that we can't see it.
Of everything that's been redacted in these emails, that's the biggest that is the biggest question that I have coming away from this. What did he say in response to that Fox News article in a private email with the subject line "Conspiracy Theory Gains Momentum"? And look, I think it's just a larger reflection of how corporate outlets have dismissed good, credible reporting from other outlets that they deem or declare illegitimate, even if it comes from Brett Baer, one of the most credible voices at Fox News. And it's a large reflection of how Dr. Fauci really engineered his own media complex to where any dissent from what he was saying was written off as conspiracy. And so I think that we're going to get a lot more answers moving forward. And I look forward to lawmakers in Capitol Hill find if they do, and they should, launch several investigations.
Tristan, you're a very honest reporter. You go through all of the research, and all of your pieces are really, you know, well thought out. They're on the longer end. You can read a lot about certain things. And I have to get your take on what other reporters are sending to Dr. Fauci. This was an email from ex-New York Times reporter Donald McNeil. And this is what he said to Dr. Fauci. A lot of average Chinese behaved incredibly heroically in the face of the virus. Meanwhile, in America, people tend to act like selfish pigs, interested only in saving themselves. How can I hoard a mask? Where's my vaccine? Do you pick up, Tristan, on the real disgust that this media elite has for average America?
Oh, absolutely. And I saw it when I lived in D.C. for 5 years. I saw it when I was in journalism school, how my peers would talk about my family here in Ohio. I think this disconnect of the type of person who goes into a newsroom and is supposed to report the news to the rest of the country, there's such this animosity towards the people that they're meant to serve. And that does even a greater disservice to the public once they rise up in these corporate newsrooms.
Absolutely. Tristan, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show. Give people your Twitter handle one more time so they can read all your work.
Absolutely. It's Justice Tristan, JusticeTristan. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's a great piece, guys. Make sure you check it out. I know how we read from it last week, how Anthony Fauci made himself the face of America's institutional decay. When we get back, I'll take your calls on this. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to go through some of these, and I'm telling you, what do they say in Arrested Development? The money's in the banana stand. The story, I always say about the mainstream media, the story is in the updates. The story is in the corrections. In this case, the scoop is in the redactions. I got to know what Fauci said. What was his response to the Mediaite conspiracy theory headline? That's what I want to know. It's my curiosity. I can't help myself. 844-500-4242. We want to hear from you guys about what you think. Is this the end of Dr. Fauci's political career, because that's what it is. Let us know. We'll be back on the other side. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
All right, I am super pumped up. I just texted Scott Hounsell from Red State, friend of the show, comes on a lot, and he is just knee deep in all this Dr. Fauci drama and information. I know right now he's just going through all these emails piece by piece, but I just texted him. I said, hey, can we move your spot to 1:30 so I could give the callers a little bit of time to weigh in on the Dr. Fauci emails? And he wrote back and said, certainly. And then he wrote back, I'll have a scoop for your listeners at 1:30. So I'm very, very excited to hear, because he doesn't mess around. You know, he's not one of those guys who keeps telling you this is a big story. He's going to have something for us. So that's very exciting. All right. Now, I do want to give you guys a heads up. I keep tossing out questions for the Aviva VIP launch that is tomorrow. And I guess my questions are too hard because people keep coming back with the wrong answers. So this is the last one I'm going to do. If you want to win the Aviva VIP launch tomorrow, you get a free lunch, you come in studio, you get to meet me. I'm sure you'll see Howie at some point. And it's going to be really fun. Take a bunch of pictures, get some books, great time. All you have to do right now is start the text with the word curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Text it to 63566 and answer this question. The question is, what was my first job at the Howie Carr Radio Network? If you text that in and you can come to lunch tomorrow, you're probably going to win. So there's that. All right, now I want to read here a thread by Ben Shapiro, because he put this really well. He said, the Fauci emails just show that Fauci consistently took the path of least resistance, downplaying the Wuhan lab leak theory, flip-flopping on masking, militantly fighting Rand Paul over post-COVID immunity, even though he knew better. Paul was right. Fauci wasn't following science as a primary goal. He was a bureaucratic institutionalist, which is precisely what you would expect from a career bureaucrat. Which is why it was insane for the media to saint him as a groundbreaking truth teller just to spite Trump. Now, this is what Ben Shapiro writes. I think we ought to have a bit of grace for people who are dealing with novel situations, as Fauci was at the beginning. But it's hard to have grace as time goes on and those same people continue to promote falsehoods they know are falsehoods. Fauci was the John Roberts of public health. A guy trying to protect an institution without regard to the purpose of the institution itself. And Stephen Miller got in on that action and basically said that he totally agrees. And, you know, this guy, here's the tweet from Stephen Miller. He says, he lied to the public several times and did it under the guise of, it's for your own good. That's not what a doctor is supposed to do. It's what a politician does. All of these things. Remember herd immunity? He admitted. That's the part of it that's kind of funny about this email, you know, bombshell, is there are great emails in here. Howie just reminded me of one that I'll read to you guys after the break here, where he got this long email about how China was getting praised for their handling of the COVID virus, and it wasn't all true. Shocker. China wasn't telling us true information. And Fauci wrote back something, I'm paraphrasing, but this email's too long. There's a lot of them that we're going to get into, but I find it worth noting that a lot of the stuff, as far as Fauci goes, a lot of the red flags that showed he was a fraud, he said himself. You know, you could dig through these emails and hopefully you'll find a lot of good stuff, but plenty of this stuff was said on the record. To our faces, in magazine interviews, on MSNBC, on CNN, on NPR. He was very open that he was doing things because we were too dumb to make our own decisions. We're going to play all those cuts. We have so much to get to. 844-500-4242. Scott Hounsell at 1:30 with some mega scoop. Don't go anywhere.